Is it possible that behind the events transforming our culture, our nation, and your life is a mystery that goes back to ancient times? In his most explosive book ever, The Return of the Gods, New York Times bestselling author Jonathan Cahn pulls away the veil and reveals these shocking secrets. Uncover the mystery of the gods and how it's transforming your life. The Return of the Gods, the book you can't afford not to read. Get it online or wherever books are sold.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of the Strang Report podcast. Today, my guest is the one and only Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, whose new book, The Return of the Gods, releases September 6th. And it's my honor to be able to do one of the very first interviews with him about the book. And of course, we'll talk about it. But as his publisher, I have been aware of this book long before it was completed. I was one of the very first to read it. I'm totally involved in getting out the message because it's a very, very important message, not only for America, but the world, and especially to the Christian community. It's about how paganism, ancient paganism, is actually reappearing in our culture today and also explains a lot of the things that are going on. So you don't want to miss my exclusive interview with Jonathan Cahn, author of Return of the Gods.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back, everyone, and welcome to you, Rabbi Cahn. I appreciate you fitting me in. You've been doing so many interviews, but I wanted to do an interview on the release date of this very important book. It's an explosive book. In some ways, it may be your most controversial book, and I told a little bit about the paganism. I've done a couple other podcasts with you. People who listen to my Strang Report podcast know that I was actually having a meal with you in a restaurant, and we just sort of ad-libbed, and I got a lot of downloads on that because there's such a great interest. Why don't you give us an overview of what The Return of the Gods is and maybe why it's so explosive?
I think it's right. You know, people have said, you're saying this is the most explosive. You know, what about all the other ones? But this goes beyond. The Return of the Gods is revealing a mystery that's behind everything that's been transforming our culture, everything that has been changing America in the last half century. And the mystery goes back to the ancient tablets of Mesopotamia, Babylon, the Middle East, and it goes back to a subject that is very rarely talked about, and yet it's so important. It's really revealing that the gods we hear about, you know, we think about they're just fiction and mythology.
And in a way they are, because we know there's only one true God, but aren't you really saying that there are spirits behind what the ancient people call gods?
Yeah. I was saying that they're not just mythology and fiction. Of course they are, but there is something real to them. And what if they came back? What if they returned, these ancient gods, these principalities, which I'll explain what they are, but what if they came back to America? What would happen? And could they actually be the invisible agents behind all these things that are happening? Could they actually be behind even Supreme Court decisions, even determining the dates when these decisions come down? Could they be behind what's happening to sexuality, the sexual revolution, the altering of gender, the parades of June, the rainbow? Could there be dark secrets that go back then? What are we dealing with? And in this mystery touches everything and touches everyone who's watching or listening. It touches their family. It touches their friends. Every single person, believer or non-believer, is dealing with it. So the Return of the Gods is pulling a veil away, opening up this mystery that to have a mind-blowing thing, but to actually be armed, equipped, to know what to do, what you're dealing with, and how to overcome as well. And also, I'm hoping people don't just get it for themselves, but they get it for the people in their life who need to hear it.
You know, there's so much happening in the culture, and those of us who are believers, who are trying to follow Jesus, trying to be led by the Holy Spirit, we look at what's going on, we shake our heads and said, how can this be happening? And how can it be happening so fast? And for me, your book sort of answered that question. There are principalities and powers that are happening. Is paganism coming back? Why do you think the paganism is coming back in, you know, kind of our sophisticated, technological, modern society?
Yeah, the technology only makes it worse because the principalities can use that as well. Well, it goes back to the Bible, as everything does. And it goes back in the Hebrew scriptures. It speaks in Deuteronomy and in the Psalms. It says the people, the pagans, worship, you know, these idols, these gods, where they actually sacrifice their children to the gods. And it says they're actually worshiping or sacrificing to the Shedim. Hebrew word Shedim actually means entities. It means beings, spirit beings. Now, the same word was translated by the rabbis into Greek. And the word that it became was daimonia, which is actually the word that Paul uses when he says the pagans in Corinthians, they're worshiping idols. They're actually worshiping the daimonia. That's the Greek way of saying shedim, and that's where we get the word demon or demonic from. So the first thing is the Bible saying that behind these ancient gods are spirits, principalities. And the whole world was under this, you know, I mean, except for Israel, there are gods everywhere. And so if they're under the gods, that means they're also given to the spirit. So ancient pagan world, that was possessed, a possessed culture. When the gospel came in, the gospel drove these things out. That's why all the gods, you don't see Zeus and Minerva so much and all these things, or you didn't for a while, they were gone. The temples became emptied out because of the gospel. But so it was like, it was the greatest mass exorcism. It wasn't just gods, it was the spirits behind the gods. So it was a mass exorcism of Western civilization. But then remember, and this is going to answer your question, remember that Jesus gave a parable. He said, if a spirit goes out of a man, it goes to the wandering, and if it doesn't find a place, it goes, says, I'm going to go back to my house, goes back to the man, finds the house clean, swept, empty, says, I'm going to bring seven of my friends here. So it goes and brings. So now there are eight demonic spirits repossessing the man. And the Lord says, so the latter state is worse than the first state. But people think, well, that's talking about a man. It's using a man to talk about something else. He says, so it will be with this generation. And so here is the warning. Here is the bringing it all together, that our civilization was possessed. It was exorcised. That's what makes Western civilization unique. It was delivered by the gospel of the spirits, of the demonic spirits, of the gods. But the warning is, if it ever turns away from God, if it ever turns back, if it ever starts emptying itself of God, the spirits are going to come back. The gods are coming back. The spirits that were cast out are going to come back to repossess it. And that's how it happens. And that's exactly what we've been dealing with for the last half century. Why things are getting worse and worse spiritually is because we are watching a nation and a civilization in the process of repossession.
I think that's so important. And let's walk through this. It's an excellent book. It's an excellent read. It's the, you know, what we in the publishing industry call a page turner. You can't put it down. At least I couldn't. And it's something that your many fans and a lot of new readers are going to want to read. But why don't you walk through? There are three basic areas that you dealt with. Why don't you tell the viewers and the listeners what they are?
Yeah. Yeah. The first part of the Return of the Gods, you know, is setting that stage and then opening up what's called the Dark Trinity. Then it gets even deeper when we start talking about the Transformer. But the Dark Trinity, I call it, because when you look at Israel, when Israel turned away from God, there were three primary gods or spirits that possessed the culture and led to its destruction. And the first is called the Possessor. And that is actually what his name means. And many people who know the Bible will know his name was Baal, or we know him as Baal. But it means the possessor, the Lord, the owner, the master. And so what happened is that he is the god, Baal is the god or the false god and the spirit that leads a nation that has once known God away from God. And he's the anti-god. He's the substitute god. He's the god who promises, liberation, freedom, prosperity. If you turn away from God, turn to me. And so Baal is the one also who drove God out of their lives. They turned to Baal, drove him out of the culture, or sought to drive.
You're talking about ancient Israel.
Yeah, yeah, yes. And so what happened is this: when America, mid-20th century, very early 60s, America begins opening the door, begins emptying itself of God, begins to take God out of the public square, out of the schools, out of the lives of its children. The word starts being removed. Once you open that door, it's not, what the parable says, it's the house isn't going to remain empty. Something else is going to come in. And so what comes in is the spirit of Baal, which is the spirit of first of all, driving God out of every part of culture, which we've been living with for the last half century. It's been a continual driving out of God. But also it says that Baal caused Israel to forget God. And that's the first thing it says, forgetting God. So Baal is the spirit that causes a nation to forget, that had known God, to forget God. You know, in these are pagan gods or pagan spirits. When they come back to the world, they're coming to a Christian or quote Christian nation, a Judeo-Christian based nation. So the mission of this spirit is to turn a Christian nation into a pagan nation, to paganize it. So it now begins the process of paganization. And this process has affected us in every way. I mean, even wokeism comes from that. One of the things about paganism is, you know, when you have one God, there's one truth. When you have many gods, there are many truths. Truth is now starts becoming subjective. It's your truth. It's my truth. That's part of paganism. Another thing says, you know, under paganism, you can make your own God. You can create your own idol. You create your own truth and reality. Well, if a man says that my reality is that I'm a woman or I'm a tree, that's his personal authentic reality. That is part of paganism. It's affected us in every way. This is the spirit of Baal.
You know, as I read the book, I had to reflect on the fact that I've seen this happen in my own lifetime. I was in elementary school when they took prayer and Bible reading out of school. We used to stand by our desks before we went to lunch and repeat the Lord's Prayer in school. And there were Bible story books in the classroom that you could read if you wanted to. It wasn't like Sunday school, of course. So I remember that as a child and to see everything that happened since. So why don't you walk through who the other two of this dark trinity are?
Yeah, let me just say, because I mean, obviously we're only able to touch, you know, really skim, barely say what's in the book. But I'll say there are things in this, for instance, the sign of Baal, I won't go into it, but the sign of Baal, the ancient sign of Baal actually appeared in America. And more than once, it appeared in New York City. This even links to technology and computers. You know, the ancient mystery in paganism in the Bible, what it reveals is that when someone makes an idol, they actually, you know, they serve the works of their hands. Well, you know, when Paul stands on Mars Hill and it says, you know, you're worshiping the works of your hands, the Greek word is techne. We get the word technology from it. We are now worshiping the works of our hands through the computer. We are more plugged in. We are more attached. And the Bible says that they will become like them, that what they worship, you become like it. So people are becoming less human, less able to interact with each other, while computers are becoming more human. So, I mean, this affects everything in every way. So I'm just giving you a little taste. The next of the Dark Trinity is called, in the Return of the Gods, is called the Enchantress. And this was a goddess, this is a she, and she's known, she's called in the Bible Ashtoreth. And all you'll see often Baal and then Ashtoreth. Ashtoreth in Canaanite theology or mythology was the wife of Baal, but she's all over. In the Mesopotamia, she's called Ishtar. In the Greek land, she was called Aphrodite. In Rome, she was called Venus, but she's a dark, dark principality. She is the goddess of sexuality, of sexual immorality, of licentiousness. And she's also called the harlot or the prostitute goddess. And what would happen then? First is Baal in the Bible. They said Baal, and then it says Ashtoreth. First comes Baal, the turning away from God, early 60s in America. Then if this one returns and comes into the culture, you will expect a sexual revolution, an upheaval, a changing of sexual morality, the overturning of biblical morality, and the overturning it with pagan sexual morality. And that is exactly what happened. The 1960s, right? Like clockwork, comes Ashtoreth, comes Ishtar, and comes, and all of a sudden, you know, sexuality is taken out of marriage, out of the family. You know, she's called a prostitute. What a prostitute? Prostitutes take sexuality out of marriage and put it into the marketplace. And so she sexualizes American culture, becomes sexualized, while she also wars against marriage. And so what you see is, you see this is the spirit of Ishtar. You see sexuality coming, you know, everywhere in the culture, and you also see the weakening of marriage, the destroying of marriage, broken homes, broken families. That's all the spirit of Ashtoreth or Ishtar. And I'll tell you another thing, and again, we're just barely skimming what's in the book. But another, just a taste of the other things here, is that, you know, she was called prostitute. In ancient Greek, though, they called her porn, that the word for prostitute is porne. We get the word porn from it. Pornography means the writings of the prostitute or about the prostitute. The pornography comes from this goddess. The first pornography in the world in literature comes from this goddess. And even we use the word, you know, the culture has become eroticized. Well, the word erotic comes from Eros. Eros was a god that was the son born of this goddess. So, I mean, everything, you know, she seduces a nation. She's called the Enchantress. She seduces a nation to paganism by using sexuality. And that's exactly what's happened to America.
And wasn't the sexuality also part of the religion with temple prostitutes? I've not studied this like you have, but weren't there temple prostitutes, yes, both male and female? And now, yeah, we're kind of seeing that come back. And I remember, yeah, from the book that there were parades. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. If you want to get, Now this is the deeper part, because when Ishtar starts, it's a sexual revolution. But as it keeps going, the deeper parts come. And this is in a section of the Return of the Gods called the Transformer. This goddess says in the ancient time, looking at the ancient inscriptions, it says, "I am a woman. I am a man." It says in the hymns to the goddess, it says she has the power to turn a man into a woman and a woman into a man. So what will happen if she comes to America? And that is, we're going to start seeing the transformation of gender. And this doesn't, you don't see it so much at the beginning, but this is her deeper work. So what happens is that you'd expect to see, this is what she does. It said one of the ancient inscriptions says she grinds away masculinity from men. She emasculates men, she feminizes them, and she masculinizes women. And so we see this everywhere in culture. I mean, we see the taking away of femininity from women, and we see this spirit that is trying to emasculate men, you know, toxic masculinity, you know, against the patriarchy. Well, you know, this goddess was against the patriarchy in her mythology, but it all comes from her, whether it's radical feminism, whether it's the changes of culture, but even and in sexuality, you know, her priesthood, you're alluding to this, her priesthood were primarily, but there were women prostitutes, but they were men who dressed up as women. And they walked around her temple as women. And so it was androgyny and cross-dressing. It's not new. It's ancient. It comes from the temples of this goddess. And this was central in pagan culture. And so you know, not only that, it says she dresses men as women, dresses women as men. And so the spirit comes into our culture and it's all coming back. And so when we're seeing this, you know, back in, you know, has not been in the center of Western civilization for 2,000 years because of the gospel. But now if you're seeing it come back, you're seeing it on your television screens, you're seeing it affecting your children in school, it is a sign the goddess is back. There is something behind it. And even going a step further with this, Steve, and that is that it says that when you look at the ancient thing, she also, not only that, her priests were also surgically transitioned. They were surgically transitioned to be as women. That affected their hormones, affected everything. In fact, I as I'm kind of uncovering, looking at these things, there's ancient tablets that describe that these transitioned men, are these priests, are dancing before her carrying scalpels, which we believe is a sign of their transition. She is the goddess who transitions, you know, transitions literally. So, and you know, the other thing is that this is relevant to everybody. The gods are after the children. You get the children, you have the nation. And that is why this has all happened, this craziness, this madness of transitioning children. But it all goes back to this mystery.
Let's talk about the third part of this dark trinity. What's that?
In the book, in the Return of the Gods, they call him the destroyer. And this is a common feature of pagan society, pagan culture. And that is, you know, human sacrifice was actually common. And not only human sacrifice, particularly child sacrifice, because they couldn't defend themselves. If you were a child in the pagan world, you were in danger because, you know, the pagan world always went against the weak and the elderly and that. And so, and they offered up children to the gods. And this one god, the destroyer, we call him, we know him as Molech. Well, when Israel turned away from God, what happened? They started, the Bible says, they started offering up their children as sacrifices. This is paganism. And so, but if we're following the mystery, this is where it's going to go. You first have, and it goes right in order. Baal comes first, the turning. Then comes Ishtar, the goddess. Then comes the sexual upheaval, revolution. And then comes the third. Then comes the destroyer. Then what's going to happen is, this is what happens when you turn away from God. The spirit of the destroyer is coming to America, and he causes parents to offer up their own children as sacrifices. With a Christian nation, he causes a Christian nation even to do that. That's how strong this is. So in 1970, you have the 60s, 1970, abortion on demand begins in America. 1973, it becomes legalized across the country. This is the spirit of Molech. And when I started looking, this is what I also reveal in the Return of the Gods, looking at the way they offered up their children in the ancient pagan sacrifice, it actually, what we do now, it parallels what we do now. We can't go into it, except the first one was the parent who actually offered up their children, as it is today, in abortion. The reason was they offered their children to the gods because the god would give them favor, give them economic prosperity, give them success. Well, that's the same reason that is given for women to offer up children, because your child's gonna you know, be a hindrance to your advancement. You hear Hollywood celebrities say this, you know, and they would burn their children. We burn them with chemical fires. And actually, another thing, Steve, what I found in the ancient inscriptions is that the ones who were most vulnerable to this were the poor. The poor actually were offered up to the gods more than the others. To this day, this principality goes after the poor. And that's why when you look, there's no accident that you go to cities where the poor areas are, you have abortion clinics. They tend to cluster there. The minorities are, you know, this god is a racist. The minorities are being destroyed, many minorities, by abortion. It's the same spirit. So, and actually, there, I even put in the book how some of the leading abortionists, they talk about abortion as something holy. They say it's a sacrament. It is an offering to the gods. It's not immorality. It's another morality. It's pagan morality. This is in their own words. We are doing the spirit. All three work together, and they are working together to this day.
You know, what you're saying is new. Now you're talking about something very old, but I've never heard anyone connect the dots like you have. How did you get this revelation?
Well, actually, Steve, I always had a sense of it. You know, we have a sense that, you know, obviously something's happening, but I always had a sense of it. I remember when I look back, it was right after I did the Harbinger. It was 2013. Well, when the Harbinger came out in 2012, 2013, I did a message at Beth Israel called The Dark Trinity. You know, and this was the beginning, you know, but I didn't go further. People said, wow, this thing has got to go out. But I never did anything with it. But then as I watched what happened to the culture, and, you know, we it's only gone. I mean, as you said, it's only increasing. It's only accelerating. And as it accelerates, it reveals itself more. It comes out of the closet in a sense. The veil comes, it gets even crazier. So I knew I had to do that. And so when I started, I felt, you know, this is the time, and I prayed, and when I finally got a go ahead on this, I knew it was going to be explosive. I knew it's going to affect everybody. I mean, this mystery affects everybody. But as I started doing the research, this is during COVID, during the lockdowns, I started getting even more blown away when I started seeing, like, when I looked at what happened to, like, Stonewall, which is the event, the Stonewall riots that began this whole movement of pride and same-sex sexuality and altered genders and rainbow and all. On that night, I was blown away. On the night of Stonewall, all these signs of the goddess, the Transformer, appear in the streets of New York City. I've never heard anything like that before, but it's there. There's something called the Dance of the Goddess that she does when she's warring. Well, in the middle of the riot, they start dancing this dance, and they start singing these words that match the ancient inscriptions linked to the goddess. There's even the name Stonewall is in her writings. It says you are the stone that breaks the Stonewall. She was trying to break into Stonewall that night. There's even a woman who was like a channel that night who triggered the whole movement we're dealing with today. And she's like an incarnation of this goddess. You know, as if the goddess is called the Storm. So if you are, your name is Storm. The woman's name was Stormé, Storm. And even the timing of these things, Steve, you know, the timing of that night is linked to the ancient calendar of the goddess. It has even affected Supreme Court decisions. So on the, you know, the way it happens, Steve, is the same way the Harbinger happened, the same way it happens. It's, you know, something comes into my heart, my mind, then comes the next thing. And it's like I'm led. I can never reproduce it. But then, and I'm the first one to be blown away.
Well, that's incredible. And this is an amazing book that people need to read. It'll help open people's eyes. But, you know, what we've been talking about is pretty dark. And what's been happening in our culture seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. What is a believer supposed to do with this? Is there any way that those of us who believe that we have authority over the principalities and the powers of the air can somehow shift things? And what is your message to the Christian community that you hope they will take away from the return of the gods?
Yeah, well, that's the reason writing the book, you know, not only to reveal what's actually happening and what we're actually dealing with. And again, it's affecting everybody, your life and the lives of people in your life. But also to know it, because you can't, if you're going to fight, you have to know what you're fighting. You have to know what kind of fight it is. We war not against flesh and blood. We war against principalities in high places. That's what we're dealing with. That's why things are so crazy. They make no sense. They're not, they shouldn't make sense because they're not natural. They're supernatural. And so one is to know that. But secondly, you know, these are biblical times. You know, believers pray, they wish they could live in biblical times. This is what the people in the Bible dealt with. From Moses dealt with the gods of Egypt. Elijah dealt with the god Baal. The Maccabees with Hanukkah dealt with the Greek gods. The apostles and disciples and first believers, they dealt with the gods of Rome. We are dealing with something very biblical. These are the last days. So this is an end time template. This is where it's going. And the thing is, we have to remember who we are. We have the power of the one true God. The last section of the Return of the Gods is called the Other God. Not only is it a call for salvation for those who don't know, but it's a call for power, to live powerfully. The Spirit of God is the only antidote for the spirits of the gods. The power of God is the only antidote to the power of the gods. And it doesn't matter if we're in the minority or not. Look at the great people of God and how they stood against all these things, that they would not bow down. One of the things, you know, towards the end of the book, I talk about the war of the gods. The principalities are trying to make God's people bow down. It's always been about that. But we have to say, no, we will not bow down to Baal. We will not bow down to political correctness. We will not bow down to anything but the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God above all. Moses, you know, who dealt with the gods of Egypt, Moses said this in his song. It said, Micha mocha Adonai be'elim, who is like you, Lord, among the gods. We have the power to overcome, but we have to fight. We can't be silent. We can't be intimidated by the gods. You know, actually, here's the other thing, Steve. That revival comes in the ancient times. The sign of revival was that God dealt with the gods and that their altars were broken. You know, Josiah broke the altars. Well, the biggest altar right now is abortion of the gods. And I don't believe it's an accident. The day that I finished the book, The Return of the Gods, was June 24th. June 24th was the exact day that abortion, Roe versus Wade, was overturned. And I believe this, God's given an encouragement and a sign, because that's a broken altar. Broken altar is about revival in God. So there can be revival, but we have to deal with it. And the other thing is that if there's anything in your life at home which is linked to this, whether it's pornography, whether it's abortion, whether it's a million other things, get it out of your life so you can be a vessel of the power of the living God. And you have that, then you can rise up in power and there can be revival.
So well said. And we could talk about this for hours, but we have to end this podcast. And I want to give you the last word. But after I remind people that we're releasing this on the release date, September 6th, of course, people will be listening to this and watching this a long time later. But I want to just tell people that this book is available really wherever books are sold. Seriously, we have several hundred thousand copies out there, so people will be able to get it. A lot of people order it online, but it's going to be in the bookstores. And also, I just encourage you to buy it for others. It's a great gift. It's a great read. We want to get the word out, and this is our way of getting the word out. Of course, we're doing a lot of things in a lot of places and other media. But I just so appreciate Rabbi Kahn taking time to articulate the message of the book for the Strang Report listeners and now viewers, now that we're doing a video podcast as well. So as we wrap up, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. And thank you for doing this. You know, and we know, look, this is a word that's going to be, you know, like a light in the darkness. And we know there will be things that go the other way. But all the more, and we ask your prayers as well for God to do this. But yeah, for people in your life, you know, who are affected by this as well. But remember, you know, listen, we have been chosen to live for such a time as this. You know, don't fear the future. In fact, this is telling you, you do have authority. And we are not supposed to let everything just go to hell. We are supposed to be lights to this world. You have to be a light. So rise to that calling. God will anoint you. God will empower you. You know, when you look at a movie, and you know, what's the most exciting part of a movie? The last 15 minutes. God has chosen you to live in the most exciting part of this story, you know, and so this is what we need to deal with. And God is going to give you power for that. God is awesome, you know, and he is above all these things. So I encourage you not only to get the book, but to pray for revival, because this is what it's all about. And rise and be a vessel of the living God. And you will overcome all things because the Lord is on the throne.
You mentioned prayer. Let's close this podcast in prayer. And when your prayer is finished, the podcast will end.
Okay. Father, we just praise you and thank you for this time, Lord. We ask your anointing right now on all these things. Lord, I ask your blessing on everyone who's watching. And Lord, we pray for those who are under darkness throughout this land. We pray, Lord, you set them free, Lord. Cast out the spirits, Father. We pray for revival in America. Lord, we know that revival comes by repentance and that times you expose the gods and you expose the idols, Father. Lord, we renounce any idol in our life, anything that's not of you, we renounce it, Lord. We are going to rise and live in your spirit, in repentance, and the power of your name, Father. So, Lord, we ask whatever it takes, Lord, bring revival to America. Lord, anoint the book, The Return of the Gods, to use it for revival, to use it for salvation of people in our lives, and to use it for our own lives, to know and to be strong for the days ahead. And we thank you, Lord. You are over everything, Lord. You are, Lord, the Lord of Lords. And we bless you for this. And we thank you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, Adonai Adonim, the Lord of Lords, Melech Malchim, the King of Kings, the Ari Yehuda, and the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com. Our Charisma Podcast Network listeners receive a 10% discount when you subscribe. Go to mycharismashop.com and use the promo code CPN.